Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? I do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your bald head and wish you had hair? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome? Oh, Lord, Lord. I wonder. You know, someone said, the world's a stage and each must play a part. Oh, God. Oh, man, I tell you. And I had no cause to doubt you. Oh, anything. Sing it, baby. Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. 30 days. Until opening day at Busch Stadium. Yeah. Bring it on. You are at jconline.com. I heard an Elvis song as I was driving my daughter to school earlier this morning. No, she doesn't work in an iPhone plant in China. And I heard Elvis, and it inspired me to play that thing. I still don't know if it's some sort of rehearsal or something where Elvis was screwing around and got the giggles. And so that is in our target area here this morning. Well, it is a different ball game when you are sitting six rows behind home plate at a spring training facility. You know, I've had really, really good tickets from time to time. I have a very, very close friend who has tickets that are three rows behind the Cardinal dugout. It's actually at the on-deck circle end, too. So you're really, really close to home plate. But you go to these spring training facilities, and last night I was at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, right across from the football stadium, by the way. So you have the baseball stadium on one side, you got the football stadium on the other side of the street, and it's a really nice complex down there. And again, my buddy Rick, who we've been talking about him now for the last couple of days, and you heard his interview yesterday. Thank you for the nice comments, by the way. People dropping me a line from time to time at JC@JCOnTheLine.com email or my Facebook page, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. And again, so we sat, he's royalty. He just comes walking in And people are like, yes, Mr. Cerrone. Yes, Mr. Cerrone. You know, he's a legacy. You know, he's a legacy. By the way, we were leaving the game last night. We left about an inning and a half early to beat the traffic. Everybody was just tired. And we're walking up the aisle because we were, like I said, we were in the sixth row. And I would say maybe in about the 15th row, we're walking up, you know, to go out of the stadium. And there's an old beat up looking guy with matted down hair and a baseball hat over his face. He looked like a homeless guy, but he's sitting in really, really good seats, which is sort of odd. And he's calling out for my friend Rick, who I went to the game with last night. And we get to the top of the stairs to go out of the ballpark. And I was like, who was that? He goes, didn't recognize him? I was like, no, who was it? He goes, Jim Leland, the former manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Detroit Tigers, and Tony La Russa's like best friend in baseball. And it was like, that's Leland? I'm sorry, folks. He does not look good. But going back to what I was originally saying, yeah, you sit that close to the, practically sitting on the field and directly behind home plate, so you can see the ball curving, you know, from the pitcher. And it's just a different game when you see it that close up. And there was a play last night, the odd chance that maybe you were watching last night, the pitcher for Detroit winds up, throws, the guy hits a screamer, and I mean a screamer, right back up the box. And the pitcher, who's in a prone position, because you usually are after you have thrown a ball, takes his glove and just sort of instinctively around his back and catches the line drive, which must have had an exit speed of about 120 miles an hour. And he just caught it. Couldn't believe it. But it brought back memories of, you know, that thing that I ran into in, what was it, 2019. I was pitching and a guy hit a screamer back. I've been pitching since I was 8 years old and I never even had a close call. But this guy hit a screamer and it was, I think it was knuckling, and it therefore it handcuffed me. And, you know, you think that you've got it, but you don't. And it hit me right in the chin, knocked me out, 7 stitches, ride in an ambulance, the whole thing. Well, I won't play in a league that uses metal bats. And it's not just, the metal bats are controversial, not simply because they're made out of metal, but also because there's, with a baseball bat, with a wooden bat, you have a sweet spot. And in these case of these metal bats, the whole bat is a sweet spot. As a pitcher, you're going in and out, up and down, changing speeds. That's the key to pitching, and just throwing strikes. And so one of the things that you do sometimes with a right-handed hitter is you run a ball in on him and get him on the fists. Sometimes you break the bat right off in his hands. But if you can get him to hit the ball not on the sweet spot of the bat, it's usually going to be a dribbler or a ground out or something like that. Well, with the metal bats, the whole bat is the sweet spot. And so that takes away any ability to do that. I won't play in a league that doesn't understand how dangerous metal bats are. We use all wooden bats. But, again, I'm telling you, as somebody who's covered baseball since, the womb, when you sit that close to the field, again, especially at a spring training facility where everything, you're sitting right on top of the players, the game, you are reminded, is so much different up close than it is from row ZZ in the terrace. It's so much faster. It is so much more dangerous, to be honest. I mean, these guys are hitting balls that you just sometimes wonder how the ball just doesn't explode when you hit it that hard. All right, the big headline today for lonely women from sea to shining sea, especially in St. Louis, John Hamm and his co-star from Mad Men, Anna Osceola, are engaged after dating for 2 years. Yes, Anna Osceola is the lucky recipient of John Hamm and whatever he's packing. I got to tell you a story about John Hamm. I've never met him, but there was a story in the Post-Dispatch a couple of years ago where he was just talking about what a great baseball fan he is and everything like that. And I'm just sort of reading. And all of a sudden, it's one of those things where you're reading and you see your name. You're like, why is my name in this story about John Hamm? And I dart down with my eyes. Okay. And he says, I was a disciple of J.C. Corcoran's The Mets Are Pond Scum Movement. I'm like, holy shit. I had no idea. I actually have that framed on the wall trying to impress people. John Hamm was appearing at the library over on Lindbergh, right at Clayton Road, this a couple of years ago. And I figured, well, I'll go see him. I'll probably be the only guy there. But then I realized I can't see him. We're in Chicago that weekend for the Cubs-Cardinals. I'm like, damn, that would have been great to introduce myself. I mean, how cool would that have been? So instead, because I realize I'm not going to be able to do that, I put together a box, a little care package. And in that care package, it was a nice note and a couple of things, you know, contact for me and everything. And one of the very last, the Mets are Pond Scum t-shirts that I have. Brand new, you know, never been worn or anything like that. And so I stuffed that in there too. And a couple of other little things that I thought he might enjoy. And I just said to the person, the PR person at the library, can you just make sure that you give this to John when he's here on Saturday? Okay. Well, I am pretty convinced that they never gave it to him, because given what I wrote and what I put in that box, including the t-shirt and everything like that, I would have been shocked if he would have gotten all that and then not made any effort to respond. So I don't think they ever gave it to him. So somebody at the library, if you see him wearing a Mets or Pond Scum t-shirt, that'll be the explanation. But John Hamm off the market, and Anna Osceola gets the big brass ring. Today is the anniversary of the Perryville tornado back in 2017, and it hit at night, which was, made it even worse. The thing came right across 55. Guy was driving along, probably, had worked all day, just trying to get home during the storm, was killed in the process. I think that was the only fatality, but there sure was a lot of damage down there in Perryville. And it must just be one of those days for extreme weather, this particular date, the 28th of February, because back in 2015, we got a 6-inch snowstorm. Now, they aren't talking about a little possibility of some wet snow and some fairly violent weather coming in here over the course of the next couple of days. Nice today, 70 degrees tomorrow, and then the bottom falls out. We're going to get probably an inch of rain. An inch, by the way, is a lot, but be thankful that it's rain, because an inch of rain would be the equivalent of about 10 inches of snow. About a 6-inch snowstorm back on this date in 2015. I wanted to mention that yesterday was the, 1999. That was the anniversary of the implosion of the old barn. The arena came down on yesterday's date in 1999. There were some goofy people named the Arena Angels. They gave themselves that name. And they were trying to save the building. And I'm like, look, I'm all for the idea of preservation of historic buildings. I think it's criminal when they knock down these beautiful, gorgeous pieces of architecture. But the arena wasn't one of them. And the other thing about the arena, it was so rat infested and roaches and everything. Bob Plager told us on the air once that they used to have a weekly contest. They would all get the long, like, stick pins, pins that you use in sewing and stuff. And they would catch roaches on these things and then stick them into a dartboard. And whoever caught the biggest roach at the end of the week got some sort of a prize out of all the employees there. Because you got to remember, it wasn't just where you went to see a hockey game or where the Blues played. That's where all the Blues executive offices were. And that place was just coming apart. There was nothing to save in the Arena Angels. Arena Angels should have taken a little tour of the place barefoot. Same thing happened with Busch Stadium. We got to save Busch Stadium. It's like, no, you don't want to save Busch Stadium. The parts of Busch Stadium that you saw, I thought they were tremendously upkept. You'd go into Busch Stadium, even the last year it was there, you'd walk in there and go, this actually looks pretty nice. I wonder why they feel they got to tear it down. Well, there were two reasons. First, the world has changed. You got to have all those luxury boxes and all those amenities and all that sort of stuff. And it was just impossible to refit the old Busch Stadium that way. It just wasn't going to be possible. But the other problem, and this is the reason why I say when you walked in and you saw the place, you're like, it looks pretty good. Why are they knocking it down? You go into the Busch Stadium offices back right before they tore it down. There's water shooting out of the walls. The electrical system was, from the 1970s. 1960s, we're living in a world of fiber optics, and you should have seen the wiring in that place. It looked like Marconi himself installed a lot of the stuff. And again, totally understandable. As a fan, you might walk in and look at the ballpark and go, look how beautiful the place is. It still looks great. That was the facade. They were taking care of you. They were making sure that your fan experience was pleasurable. The only problem is they had to go to work every day too, and they were sitting in a sinkhole. It was disgusting in there. All right. My wife says she doesn't think Murdaugh did it. I say he did. Here's what I think is happening right now. You know, a jury has to work with facts. So when all is said and done, they got to clear everything out of the way, all of the misdirection, all the theatrics, all that sort of stuff, and get right down to the facts. And right now, what's been happening is, you know, the defense, I thought, did a really, really good job of taking a confetti bomb and setting it off. So now you're looking and you're trying to see what happened, but there's a billion pieces of confetti all coming down all at the same time, which I think was occluding the juries and our opportunity and our ability to really, really remember what the facts are. And what the facts are is that this guy was lying about the most critical moment in his account of how this whole thing ended up coming down. He initially said that he wasn't there at the time of the murders. It's very, very clear that as a result of the cell phone video that was shot, it places him at the scene of the crime within minutes of the murders occurring. He's lying. You never know what a jury is going to do. And they said there were women on the jury that were weeping as the story was being told by Mr. Murdaugh, suggesting that they were sympathizing with him. And there was even one woman who pushed a box of Kleenex in his direction while he was up on the witness stand weeping. Again, suggesting sympathy, empathy. So just about the time I think to myself, well, if they stick with the facts, then you got to fry this guy. But I'll tell you what, the whole thing is almost sort of moot, to be honest, because he's going to jail anyhow. One way or the other, he's not going to be a free man. Even if he's acquitted on the murder charges, he's going to jail because all of this corruption and all this embezzling and everything else that he did that was illegal. So one way or the other, he's going to end up in jail. It's just a question of whether he ends up on death row. Speaking of guilt, now you got Rupert Murdaugh admitting under oath that his hosts on Fox News were lying, and they knew they were lying, and everybody else knew they were lying, and they knew amongst one another that they were all lying. This is in my opinion. This is according to, you know, actual testimony and physical trace evidence and texts. And you see these people talking to one another, you know, Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity and all these guys. They're texting to one another how insane Trump and these people are. They go, okay, I got to go. Commercial's over. And then going on TV and saying the exact opposite. Just what we've been telling you all along. Now, some of you don't need to be told it. Unfortunately, the people who need to hear this probably aren't listening to this podcast. Although I will say, I get a lot of correspondence from people who say, you know, I don't agree with much of what you say, but I respect your right to say it. And it is interesting, you know, the sort of angles that you will sometimes present. And it's just, you know, we just sort of enjoy the podcast. And so even though we don't really agree with what you're saying, we just get a kick out of it. That's, you know, Rush Limbaugh was the same thing. You had Democrats listening to Rush Limbaugh just because they were stimulated by the actual conversation. They didn't agree with one single fucking thing he said, but it's the middle of the day and you don't want to hear music. And some people just found it compelling to listen to Rush Limbaugh. But here's the part I don't understand. For people who watch Fox News every day, now there's an avalanche of information indicating from grand juries and the Department of Justice. I mean, this isn't just some quack on the internet writing this. I mean, these are people who, at least we're told, are supposed to be impartial about investigations, and they've investigated this, and here it is. They're laying it out for you. What you've been watching on Fox News for the last 10 years has all been made up. It's all false. What more would you need than to see the actual texts of the people who are delivering the information on the air admitting that they know it's all bullshit. What more in terms of, I mean, you don't talk about a smoking gun. And yet, I guarantee you that there are going to be people who in some way or another will try to discredit the information. You know why? Because they want to believe it. They want to believe it. And so that even when you present information that completely dispels the notions that they have, they still go on believing it because they want to. They have so much contempt for the other side that they're just going to go on believing it, even though it's been proven to be false. This is how fucked up the world is right now. Speaking of false information, it was on this date back in 2001 that the St. Louis Radio Association said, you've done a pretty good job. We're going to give you the Lifetime Achievement Award. And I was like, oh, that's sort of nice. I don't get a lot of awards. People don't want to encourage me. So they don't give me awards. Seriously, I don't get anything. People in the industry, in the radio industry, don't like me because they know I don't like them. So they're like, well, then fuck you. And I'm like, well, then fuck you. But in this particular case, I don't know, somebody got overruled or there was a clerical error of some sort. And in 2001, there I was standing in front of a lot of my colleagues. They had a big ceremony over at the pageant and the whole thing. And there were, I don't know how many hundreds of people were there, but it was nice. I got to make a speech and everything. And that was it. So the following year, the St. Louis Radio Association announced that there were not going to be any air awards anymore, and there's not going to be any awards, no Lifetime Achievement Awards. So I got the very last one. So some people, and I know the names of a couple of them, and I'm not going to give them the honor of even saying their names on the podcast today, but I know who they are. And they went running around saying that the reason they're not doing the air awards anymore is because there was so much outrage and backlash and protest over the idea that the St. Louis Radio Association gave J.C. Corcoran the Lifetime Achievement Award, that the result was that the whole thing was over and they're never going to do it again, which, again, would have been a really good story. But the only problem is there's no truth to it. What happened was that the March of Dimes was the organization that partnered with the St. Louis Radio Association, and they ran out of money. It costs a lot of money to put on an event like that, and they just said, we're broke. So that was the reason why that particular ceremony back in 2001 was the final one. I know, it's not a very good story. It's not as exciting as Frank's version was. And by the way, that's not Frank Opinion, and it's not Frank Cusimano or anybody like that. It's not a name you would probably recognize. In his new book, Prince Harry says he took mushrooms during a party at Courtney Cox's house. Courtney was contacted and she said, I'm not saying there were mushrooms. I wasn't passing them out. The hell sort of denial is that? Chance the Rapper and his daughter didn't have seats next to one another on a recent flight, but before he could say anything, a gentleman offered to switch seats. That gentleman turned out to be Martin Short. Chris Rock's live stand-up special, Saturday night on Netflix. It'll also include shows before and after with his friends like Seinfeld, Amy Schumer, David Spade, J.B. Smoove. All that, again, Saturday night on Netflix. This might be the most Missouri story I've ever read. If I could just figure out a way to work in puppy mills and meth labs, then it would be officially the most Missouri story I've ever read. Two people are in the hospital after crashing a General Lee that was used on the Dukes of Hazzard TV show. The accident happened near Branson, near Branson, Missouri. No word on their condition. Arnold Schwarzenegger has an 8-episode action comedy coming to Netflix in May. It's called FUBAR, and it's about a father-daughter CIA operative team. Late night tonight, Willem Dafoe and Marlon Wayans. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Courtney Cox, who I'm sure will be asked about that whole mushroom thing. Prince Harry on with Stephen Colbert, and I looked at that and go, nah, he was on a couple of weeks ago. That's got to be a rerun. No, it's not. It's a new show, but what they do is they do the Colbert quiz. They record that separately while Prince Harry was in the studio there a couple of weeks ago, and they hold on to it, and then they preserve it, and then in a couple of weeks, they present it as part of a subsequent show, and that's what you'll see tonight. Jamie Lee Curtis, I'm with James Corden, and Seth Meyers as Rachel Brosnahan. Jennifer Grey says she cries every time she watches Dirty Dancing because it reminds her that Patrick Swayze is gone. I cry every time I watch it because Jennifer Grey's nose is gone. Trailer for season 3 of Ted Lasso is up on the internet floating around there. The premiere is only about 2 weeks away. A Roger Waters show in Frankfurt, Germany was canceled after the city council called him, quote, one of the most well-known anti-Semites, end quote. And I don't know whether to believe this or not. Let me tell you, there's three possibilities here. Either this story is complete bullshit, or it's true, or it's somewhere in the middle, like it is true, but it's also phony because it's part of like some sort of reality TV show or something. So those are the three possibilities on this story. Website claiming that Tom Brady wants to put his Fox broadcasting career on hold to try his hand at stand-up comedy. I smell something on this. I'm going to say it's a reality TV show. All right, birthdays today from the B-52s, Love Shack. Oh, I really like Rome. I think Rome is even a better song. Cindy Wilson, 66 today. John Turturro, one of our finest actors. Jesus, is that guy good an actor, 66. Bernadette Peters, who ran with Steve Martin for about 10 years back in the 70s. She is 75 today. Mario Andretti, racing legend, 83.
And Gilbert Gottfried would have been 68.
He didn't make it. He died last year. The final episode of MASH ran on this date 40 years ago. What'd they say? 77% of all TVs in use was watching that thing. 106 million people. If you follow me on Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you will see a bunch of screenshots from local TV where people can't spell or just do insanely incompetent things. I don't know what this Dilbert guy, I don't know what he thought was going to happen. I'm not even going to waste any breath on this. It's so stupid. Oh, by the way, we were mentioning the new rules in baseball. I think the jury is still out on some of this stuff. I'm not sure. The one I understand least is the larger bases. I don't get that. And the shift thing, I think, makes sense. I think you got to do it. Pitch clock, I guess. The average length of a game in 1924 was an hour and 54 minutes. By 1954, it had swelled to 230, then 239 in 1984. By 2014, average length of a game in Major League Baseball was 307, and in 2022, 306. Now, the increase in advertising from 1924 up until modern day had little bit to do with it, but I guarantee you that's not the actual explanation. I almost forgot this. I was telling you the KMOX story the other day about how I lasted 53 days there, and the guy who was running the place just hated me. He was the one that made the decision to bring me on, and then immediately had buyer's remorse. So I get a email the other day, jc@jconline.com, and he's talking about the fact that he is best friends with one of the guys who was one of the main salespeople at KMOX at the time. And he told this guy who sent me the message, relayed it. Here's what he said. The sales guy said, I was on the street at that time, meaning, you know, doing sales. I was on the street at that time, and I could tell you that the old KMOX clients loved JC, and they were disappointed when he was fired. I like that. You know, that made me feel okay. I appreciate that. Thanks very much. I mean, I knew I wasn't crazy, but it helps to be reminded that there were other people there, too, who were watching all of this and said, no, you're right. The way you told the story is pretty darn accurate. And let's end the podcast today with myths. People on social media are talking about the dumbest myths that still are, that people still believe for some reason. It's like we were talking about with the Fox News channel. It's like you're told in about as obvious terms that can be that what you believe is wrong because the people were lying to you, and we now know we always knew it, but now we have proof. So don't believe it anymore because it's lies. But people won't change their minds. They want to go on believing it. And I guess this is how some of these, they used to call these things wives' tales. Here are some of the, let's see. Oh, remember when we were kids, they said if you swallowed a piece of gum, it took 7 years before it was like fully digested. That sort of stuff. Or how long you had to stay out of the pool after you ate lunch. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, 22 minutes. You know, that kind of crap. Lie detectors. They record stress responses, which might signal when somebody's lying or not, depending on how a person's body reacts or if they're anxious. They're not admissible in court for that particular reason. There's a dramatic reading of a person's will with everybody in the room, like in the movies. Estate lawyers say that may have happened like 150 years ago, but in reality, they just mail everybody a copy of it if they want it. That myth that black belts have to register their fists as weapons. It's a great scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where Brad Pitt's character tells Bruce Lee, anybody who kills anybody with his bare hands gets arrested and thrown in jail. It's called manslaughter. Oh, the other one is that we eat a certain number of spiders in our sleep every year. You would have to have very, very unlikely circumstances for that to occur. On a more serious note, the idea that you have to wait 48 hours to report somebody who's missing, that's also not true. If you drop a penny off a skyscraper, it'll eventually fall fast enough to kill somebody. And that doesn't happen either because there's something called terminal velocity. It's about 30 miles per hour for its mass, you know, for the size of the thing it is. It would feel like you got flicked on the forehead. Humans only use 10% of our brains. Totally made up. Having your headlights off at night is a gang initiation, so don't flash your lights to alert them. I think that might have been true for about a week back in the mid-1980s. I have to admit, I thought this one was true, that shaving makes your hair grow back thicker. Eating carrots in the dark, and the most important one of all, he who smelt it, dealt it. I don't mean to talk over your heads with scientific jargon, okay? But I still like this Arnold Schwarzenegger story. Let's see, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to star in FUBAR, a new Netflix series about a father and daughter who work for the CIA. Well, it'd be nice to see Arnold back in action with somebody besides the maid, huh? And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, February 28th, 2023 is in the can 30 days until opening day. We are here every weekday morning right at about 11 o'clock. We're still waiting for some sort of official word on the launch of the new radio station. We will let you know. In the meantime, you can email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.